Okay. So, how many historians have we got in the room? People who like history. Oh, couple there, that's good. Oh, couple over there, that's good. Thought it might be quite useful to do a little bit of a quiz. Now, I'm going to have to ask you to be honest now, because I'm not going to score it myself. If you can keep the score yourself, and we'll do a sort of show of hands, okay? Basically, we're going to have a think about some of those rulers and kings and queens and those really important people. I don't know about you, but I'm actually not very good at that. My knowledge of the kings and queens runs really to horrible histories, and that's about it. But I'm sure that you're a lot better. So we've got a few quizzes. We've got three clues for each of these rulers. So have a think about it, and we'll throw it out to get the answers. So first of all, we'll start with an easy one. Became known as Defender of the Faith. Led the English church away from Rome. Oh, I'm seeing a few people going, ooh, yes, I know that one. Had six wives. Anyone got it? Henry VIII. Fantastic. We've got, so I say, keep score yourself. I'm sure that most of you got that because there are lots of smiling faces. Okay. This one that's slightly more tricky. Some say he never actually lived. He had a sword, very famous sword, called Excalibur. Oh, yeah, some murmuring going on there, yes. He was associated with a round table. Any answers there? Anyone want to? King Arthur, absolutely. You're good at this. This is, I'm going to have to really up my game, I think. Okay. The last of the Saxon kings was defeated at the Battle of Hastings. Oh, you can see the light bulb moments going on. It's really good. And an arrow in his eye reputedly killed him. That's absolutely fantastic. King Harold or Godwinson. Okay. So this is one for the ladies, perhaps. She was a warrior queen. She ruled over the Iceni and was finally defeated by the Romans. Boudica or Boudicca or whatever, but fantastic. Actually, I think you know your rulers really, really well. So let's try another one. He was the King of Wessex. He was known as the Great. He reputedly burnt the cakes. Alfred the Great, well done, yeah, excellent. Okay, so we've had five questions so far. How many people got 5 out of 5? Oh, we are in real class here. I'm really impressed. How many people got less than 5? Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Okay, couple more. He was the first king of Israel. He suffered from fits of madness. And he tried to kill David. More puzzlement on people's faces. Any ideas? Saul. Ah, oh, fantastic. See, you're just trying to fool me. Okay. He is attributed with writing the book of Proverbs. He was famed for his wisdom, and he oversaw the building of the temple in Jerusalem. Solomon, fantastic. Oh, you're really, really good. Okay. He was appointed king by the Romans. His father had ordered all children in and around Bethlehem under the age of 2 to be killed. I love you just hear this sort of murmuring. Oh, yeah, I've got the answer. Yeah. Okay. He was ruler of Israel when Jesus was brought to him for trial. Can't fool you, can I? Okay. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was crucified as King of the Jews. He's still worshipped today by Christians as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well done. I'm very pleased you got that, because I'd be worried about that. All of those kings, queens, and rulers have one thing in common, except the last. They ruled over an earthly kingdom. They did so in different ways, with different varieties of authority and contrasting styles. Some are remembered for their goodness, some for their notorious mistakes, some for their evilness and their behaviour. The odd one out, of course, is Jesus. He came as a king, but his kingdom wasn't of this world. He came to be crowned, but with a crown of thorns. He came not to serve himself, but to serve others. That's the king who we're honouring today, and that's who we're going to learn a bit more about. The King of Love, the Lord of Life, the one who offered his life and gave his all so that we might share forever the joy of his kingdom. So we're going to think a bit more about that, and we're going to have our reading, and we're going to do it a little bit differently, because it's quite cool still, even though it's like the first day of spring or whatever, we're going to have a responsive reading. So I really want you to put a lot of effort into the quiz. I'm expecting the same level of effort with this, okay? So if we could have the slide up, okay. And a bit of a groan there, yes. Yeah. Obviously, adults, we're expecting you to be modelling to the children how to engage with this. So we have some actions for you. So if I say whisper, then you go. Well, that was a little bit pathetic, wasn't it? Let's try that again. If I say whisper... Need some work, but that was better. Okay, so if I say cheering. Oh, you've woken up, that's good. Yeah, that was a bit better, yeah? King. Excellent. It's the actual bowing, which would be really, really good. Okay. Muttering, and you're really good at this? That sounds just like in the quiz. That's uncanny. Okay, so yeah, rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. Famous. Wow. Perfect. Oh, some really good modelling going over by the children or young people over there. So do look out to them if you're feeling that you don't quite know what to be doing. Okay, if we say Romans. Yeah, they're the baddies in this. Okay. Donkey. It's uncanny. And finally, hard. You all look like you've practiced that an awful lot. Okay, so this is our reading for today, for our reading for Palm Sunday. Okay. When Jesus was a boy, he heard a famous story about a king. That's good, I like that. Riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. It had been said a long time ago that one day a king would do this, but he would be a very different kind of king. A king who wasn't proud or rich or greedy, but a king... This is available on a DVD at a workout. It's about encouraging people. Sorry, no. Okay. A king who could help people break free from the past. So one day, Jesus told his friends to get a donkey. And arranged for him to ride into Jerusalem. His friends were very excited because they knew the famous story too. I hadn't highlighted that one, so well done. Excellent. They thought that this might be the start of something. So they got a donkey. And Jesus sat on it. They walked behind him as he rode down the road towards the famous city of Jerusalem. And soon people began to notice. People from the city began to run into the streets to watch this king coming, riding on his little donkey. And they began whispering. The people of Jerusalem had had a hard life. The Romans were in charge, and they made life very hard for everyone. So when the people saw the new king on the donkey, they started whispering and then cheering. They hoped Jesus would get rid of the Romans. When the Romans saw Jesus, they began muttering. They didn't want a new king causing trouble. They were in charge, not Jesus. So the streets were filled with the sounds of cheering and whispering and muttering. The leaders in Jerusalem were muttering too. They didn't want any more trouble from the Romans. Life was already hard. So they went up to Jesus and said, "Stop everyone from cheering." Jesus laughed. "How can I do that?" he said. "And even if I did stop, the stones on the street would start cheering. Everyone knows this is a special day." The leaders in Jerusalem heard the cheering and whispering and muttering and saw the king on the donkey. And they remembered the famous story. And they were worried. What did this mean? Would Jesus one day become king? Give yourself a round of applause. That was very impressive. Before we come to our next time of worship and the youth band will lead us, we come to a time of confession. So as we remember and enter the mixed emotions of Holy Week, I suggest that you hold up your palm crosses before you. And as I say these words, I ask that you reflect on the things that happened during Holy Week, remembering the crowds who welcomed Jesus' entry to Jerusalem, but mere days later will be baying for his breath. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us. We welcome you in because we think you'll give us what we want. We act as if our true motives are hidden from you. You who made the world with a word. So like the crowds on Palm Sunday, we spread our coats and wave our hands and cry, "Save us!" And you ride with your back straight and your face drawn, accepting our hosannas, because you know that even if the heart is false, the words are true. And for now, that is enough. You come in the name of the Lord, Son of David. You come to save us. You come to save a fickle people who one minute cry for help and the next cry for blood. And it is both help and blood that you give us. On that day, the sun shone hot on the city gate and you felt the air move with the palm branches. You heard the hearts pumping in their chests. Their mouths cried, "Save us," while their hearts cried, "Give us what we want." And today we are the same. But because you are a God, because you are the God, you hear even deeper in the spirits of men and women, and even children, the silence of our profound loneliness. You hear the trickle of need we scarcely know ourselves. You come to us, though you know we're praying to you, perhaps for the wrong reasons, singing to you without the faintest notion of how powerful and just and holy you really are. We don't even realize the danger we're in, crying for salvation from Caesar when the devil himself is battering the door, crying like a baby for its bottle when a wolf is loose in the nursery. And yet, you come. Now, as then, you set your iron gaze on Jerusalem, and because the Father wants you to, you come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.